offended a friend of mine on Facebook this past week with my sermon title. You can see it up there, I think. Can you? I'm going to try not to turn around and double check. I offended him pretty decently. Being a good person is not good enough. He posted to me basically that I should change it to being a good person is impossible. And we talked. I asked him if he was preaching for me. Because the message I intend for today was definitely not the message he was getting out of the title. So just for the record, bear with me. Don't miss the point. Because by the end, I think it will be clear. And Jesus said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples said, then who can be saved? You notice anything odd about that? It's only partially a rhetorical question. You notice anything odd about that? Disciples are not rich. The disciples are not rich people. Some of them were fishermen. Some were farmers. Tax collector. We don't know what they all did in their former lives, but they are not rich. In fact, Peter himself, shortly later in that same set of verses, says, Lord, we have left everything and followed you. We have left everything and followed you. They are not, material possession-wise, rich. And yet they include themselves in their question, then who can be saved? Why? Why? I mean, think about it. That makes absolutely no sense. Jesus says something about the rich. The disciples know they are not rich, and yet when he says it, they go, oh, well, we're out of creek. Why? Either A, they completely misunderstand what he's getting at, which is entirely possible, because it's the disciples. And I love them. They're lovely people. They're very wonderful people. But let's be honest, they miss the message a lot. And I thank them for that. You can derive some comfort from that. It is entirely possible that A, they completely misunderstand what Jesus is saying, or B, they understand oh too well. They understand that the point Christ is getting at is something deeper, something more meaningful, something more important than simply talking about money. We heard today from Amos. Amos was a farmer and a prophet. Lived in the 8th century B.C., nearly 3,000 years ago. He lived during a time of great wealth and great prosperity for Israel, a time of peace, a time of expansion in the kingdom, but also a time of great inequality. A time when the rich took from the poor. A time from when there was a lot of money and wealth, but the wealth was in the hands of the few, and poverty was in the hands of the many. Remember what a prophet is. A prophet is not someone who predicts the future. I need to look someday and figure out how we got to that point where we hear the word prophet and we think it's someone who predicts the future. That is not what a prophet is. A prophet is someone who speaks God's truth. A prophet is someone who delivers the word of God. That is who Amos was. He was someone who in a time and in a place where people were being trampled, stood up and said, no! This is not how it is supposed to be. This is also, on a side note, why most prophets do not live long lives and are often not very popular. Amos called Israel's leaders to the carpet. He named the evils that they did. For I know how many are your evils, how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, you who take bribes, you who push aside the needy, You trample on the poor. You take from them levies of grain. Seek good and not evil, so that the Lord God will be with you. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice. In other words, go. Act. Do. Back to Mark. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus basically recites to him a short version of the Ten Commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, etc., etc. Teacher, I have kept all of these since my youth. I've kept all of these. The word kept could also be translated observed, watched. I have observed all of these. I have watched all of these. I have passively maintained all of these. And Christ says, you lack one thing, go. Sell what you own. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And the disciples saw this exchange, applied it to themselves, and asked, then who can be saved? Some of you heard this recent experience of mine, and if you have, don't give away the ending. A few weeks ago, I was at our credit union, the BDCU, over at Aurora at 185th. I was inside, and I wasn't there. Maybe I did the deposit. You only won't keep talking about how you forget things.
I do too.
Whatever reason, I was walking out of the credit union, and as I walked past a young man who was standing there wearing a greenish backpack and a very tall, slender, dirty hat. No sign. But as soon as I walked out, he asked if I had any cash. What do you think I did? Made a withdrawal? What do you think I did? I won't be offended. What do you think I did? I said, sorry, I don't have any cash. I went onto my car. What do you think I had in my wallet? I had at least two, maybe three $20 bills that I had just taken out after depositing my paycheck. I got out of the car and sat down. I looked at the man. He was still standing there talking to people. They walked out. What do you think I did? Kudos. I turned on the engine. I thought for a moment. Put the car in gear. What do you think I did? I drove away. I came to the office. I walked in. I sat down at the desk. And what do you think I did? Yeah, no problem. Thought about it. Ran it over my head. I've been running it over my head for quite a while. I didn't do the right thing. Now I can't give money to everyone. I get that. I have my student loan debt. I want to buy a house someday. I get that. But whatever I could have done, I did not do. I could have gotten out of my car and handed him a business card. I could have told him about the food bank that we have here. I could have directed him to the North Carolina or Hope Lake. Did I do those correctly?
Yeah.
Their names are way too similar. I could have done that. I could have grabbed one of the little fruit snacks that I keep in the door so that whenever Talon is saying that he's hungry, I come to throw it. I'm around it first. I can help it. When you think that I'm lucky, I'm lucky. He didn't say he likes to fly though, so he likes to have it. Hey, look. I could have given him a fruit snack. I could have done both. I could have done something. I sat there. I molded it. I learned a lesson, so that's good. Didn't help my kid any. But I did learn something. Got a sermon illustration out of it. But still, it didn't help him any. You'll notice the this is a side note, this is not in here, but just because some people are thinking it, I don't want to say it out loud, but you'll notice in Scripture, Jesus talks a lot about helping the poor. There's never a spot in Scripture where Jesus actually stops in the middle of the sermon and says, just for the record, first make sure that they are actually in need. He never says, make sure that you filled out a 1040. Make sure that you've got their medical records and their proof of immigration status to make sure you've got everything covered. Then it's okay to help them. He doesn't actually say that. He just says help people who need help. Interesting. Prophets are not popular. But honestly, whatever you take away from today, don't take away guilt. Because believe it or not, when I look back at that experience as a young man, I do feel a twinge of regret. But I'm not going to let myself feel too guilty about it. Because honestly, guilt doesn't help anyone. And guilt paralyzes. Guilt poisons. When we act out of guilt, we start to resent it. Even when we're doing the right thing, if we do it because we feel guilty, we resent it. It poisons us. So whatever happens, don't take guilt out of this. Let's get back to Amos for a second. Amos, in his time and place, living in this ancient kingdom of Israel, living in this time when, as I said, the wealth is in the hands of the few, the poverty is in the hands of the many. He described active persecution. People actually consciously doing evil. You trample on the poor, he says. How many are your evils? Great are your sins. Compare that to what the rich man claims credit for. The rich man in the parable, the rich man in the story of Mark. In effect, when Jesus gives this condensed list of the Ten Commandments, the man says, I have observed these, I have watched these, I have kept these since I was a youth. In a sense, the man says, I haven't murdered. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't stolen anything. I haven't borne false witness. I haven't defrauded. Basically, he says, teacher, I am a good boy because I have not been actively bad. Kudos, rich man. Good job. Way to not be actively bad. Affirmation of baptism, confirmation class. A few weeks ago, we were talking about confession and forgiveness, and how in the confession we talk about that we ask for forgiveness for the things we have done and the things we have left undone. A sin of omission. The things we could do that we don't do. You could argue that my old bank story was one of those. In essence, this rich man's day, he claims good by omission. Jesus, what does Jesus say to him? Great! You've avoided doing bad things. Now go and do something good. Don't just be passive. Act. You're an expression that's not as popular now, but it was for a while, and you still hear it sometimes. What would Jesus do? It was at the four letters people would have on their bracelets, WWJD, very popular. I think there was even like a Christian band with that name. I could be wrong, but I'm willing to bet that I'm right, that there probably is. I've never heard of them, but there has to have been some Christian band in the mid-90s who called themselves WWJD. In other words, how do I live my life like Christ would? No offense. But the more I think about it, it's kind of a silly question. A better question. What did Jesus do? You know, because extrapolating his behavior 2,000 years later is well good, it's fun and all, but actually acknowledging the written record of what he said and what he did. It's a lot simpler. You don't have to project. You don't have to guess. It's what did he do? Well, what did he do? He ate with prostitutes. He ate with sinners. When he healed people, most of the time he would touch them. He would physically touch people who were outcast, people who were considered dirty, unworthy, unmentionable, unwelcome. He told rich people and people in power, people who had clout, that they were not better than their neighbors. And then he would tell them to go actively help their neighbors. He challenged people to care about the people who they did not have to care about and the people who they did not want to care about. He challenged people to be active and not passive. The sermon title that really, really set off this friend of mine. Being a good person. Being a good person. Is that enough to be a follower of Christ? We need to actually do like one.